Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our Red Tent Radio. This is Aurora Ray Coates, and I'm here with Leela, who is the founder of the Divine Playground, and we are here being real and authentic. We say that every woman has a story, and our mission is for every woman's story to be heard. And so together we are telling our stories because we are reflections of each other, and we're going to heal the world. And Leela and I were talking about what inspires us and what are we doing to be that inspiration for other women and to be inspirations for ourselves. So first we talked about Leela, who is, again, the founder of Divine Playground and an advocate for women's empowerment. And I'd love you to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Leela, and it's so awesome to be here with you, Aurora. I'm such a big fan of all of your work with the Red Tent, as well as all of your amazing Facebook posts that are often very, very edgy and very outside the scope of what people consider safe. You've been such an inspiration, both in what you've brought to the table in terms of sacred sexuality, as well as just sharing in the depths of your soul, no matter what you're going through. You've been such an inspiration. And I'm just honored to be here with you today.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you for saying that. And it's funny because I often feel like I'm trying to tone myself down as I'm posting. So it's funny when you're just being yourself and other people are like, whoa, you don't think like other people. And I think that's a great reflection for me and for my friends. Just be like, well, this is just the way I am. You know, how do you come into this earth, to this planet, just being thinking so differently and so boldly and really wanting to share your own truth that is different than the way that other people think. And again, your business, the Divine Playground, which I'd love you actually to speak a little bit about this, because the show is about inspiring each other. And we are in the show, the Red Tent, is a space for women to support women, and our primary audience is women. However, what we do to inspire ourselves is inspiring for men, too, and this is what it's about, to inspire the entire community. So I want to hear a little bit about the Divine Playground, just in the fact that you're creating an entire business around play. You want to be, you are a leader. You are an entrepreneur of a business around bringing life force back to the world and in a very conscious way.
Aw, that's sweet. It riffs off of your authenticity, Aurora, and I think the main idea of the Divine Playground is to really inspire the idea that it's possible for one to create their own Divine Playground, the idea that it's possible to create the life that is in your highest bliss, and that being a life that is, for me, a life of liberation and a life of authentic freedom. Which is why I love, you know, being in tune with our Red Tent, because you're inspiring so much authenticity. And the Divine Playground really loves to hold containers and transformational events that help people realize that we are able to write our own stories, and that this is our divine right as a human, that we are not bound by what media or society says. And especially being a woman, and over the centuries and ages of women following suit or being in a submissive role, for me it's really important to inspire and empower women to know that not only do they have a voice, but they are powerful, and that they are creators of their own lives. And in the Divine Playground events, we do our best to create containers that hold space for each being to feel safe to share, and to even not only share, but to access the depths of their soul to share their truth, to say, hey, what you are bringing through, who you are is unique, and who you inherently are is love, and we want to inspire you to live that life that you've always imagined, that divine playground. So the idea of play in the Divine Playground is that life is this great play, and that our thoughts create our reality. So we're really we get good at choosing the good ones, of choosing a life lived from love rather than a life lived from fear or what society tells us we ought to do.
Oh, that's huge. That's huge. And to bring that home, just the fact that we are the creators of our own reality, I don't know that many people really own that. You know, we can create our world. We are God, Goddess, Source, Energy. We, you know, and for you to say that, I want to see how good this playground can be. I want to create my world. You know, I can create it. I can do it. I can bring people together and play. And I have to say that sometimes I get lost in what I call the shadows. I get lost in how much pain there is in this world. There is so much pain in this world. And it's hard, and people are, you know, struggling to make ends meet just because the system itself, this, you know, capitalistic, so the way the system is run, it tends to bring us down, and it can be challenging. But to recognize that this planet, this universe is infinite, and what it means for that, like, you don't need to be stuck in that either. You know, we can choose to find other ways and other outlets and to empower each other to get out of that. You know, I absolutely, people like you and me, you know, there are times where we get stuck down into it, you know, this quote-unquote reality, like we get stuck down into, I don't have any money, and, you know, like, and the fact that we keep on liberating ourselves, the fact that we know that there's so much more to it. My mind goes to the Sri Yantra, and the Sri Yantra is a sacred geometry, a symbol. And I always look at that as the intersecting triangles that are both down and up and down and up, but this, like, it also represents the masculine and the feminine harmoniously, but it's always both. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. It's always both. What is in the shadows, what is in the depths, is also so ecstatically in the light. And when things look hard, the fact is that it can be so much, there's so much bliss there too, always. You know, and where do you want to play? And that's going back to the divine playground. Where do you want to play?
So. Right. And I mean, and that's and such a powerful point, what you just mentioned about the shadow realms as well, because, you know, at any point when something maybe looks like it's not going right or something, we're meeting a challenge point or an obstacle, you know, we have a point in that absolute moment to choose expansion or contraction, to choose a field of fear, of worry, of anxiety, or to choose to know that the universe has our best interest, and even though it may look scary, that it's actually asking us to expand, to birth into a new aspect of ourselves that is more expansive, that is more in love. And what is exciting with the Red Tent and also with the Divine Playground is that we're creating, the word is morphogenetic field, and Richard Bartlett uses it in his Matrix Energetics, Energy Healing. And it's also a word that's used just to describe thought forms that exist in the world. And that there's so many thought forms, this field of thought forms, maybe you go into a city and it feels dense, that are based on fear-based ideologies. And that's, so when you go into these fields, you feel that fear and you start to get perhaps dumbed down, or you feel maybe more worried than you were. And speaking into this now, and what I feel our Red 10, the Divine Playground, is really bringing to the surface is that we are able to create our own thought forms now, our own fields of awareness that are lived by in love, or, you know, lived with confidence. And so part of what the Divine Playground does is to ask us to access and amplify the love within ourselves, because we're always innately, truthfully, truly love, and then to amplify that in the world and to remember and to own that we're light bringers. Remember and to own that we're here to be the embodiment of a love, to literally be a bridge between heaven and earth. And that, you know, when things seem to maybe seem darker, or we start to experience shadow selves, we can, you know, immediately remember that it is our inner truth, no matter what action we're exhibiting on the outside, that our inner truth is love, and to turn up the volume on that and amplify that and keep shining that. And then together with our Red Tent, with Divine Playground, with all these other beautiful organizations working, you know, towards a world that works for all of us, we create a new morphogenetic field, a new field that is not only more magical and easier to manifest, but a field that we experience miracle healing and, you know, just really magical things. So I feel, I know sometimes that it's easy to stay small, or it's easy to suffer because everybody else is, and who am I to not suffer? And at the same time, we've been telling that story for so long on the planet, and it's really time we write a new story. And that's, I feel like, Aurora, some of the work that me and you are doing here.
Yeah, we are. And that's, I mean, you're inspiring right now, this whole show. We said our theme is going to be what inspires us, you know, and what are we doing? Gosh, I mean, I work with so many women and I connect with so many men. And who is really, really taking advantage of the fact that we create our reality, you know? And I think you are, and I think I am, and we are, we're just, this is our truth, you know, this is our truth, and we're speaking it, and we're living it, and talk about, you know, again, you and I are both inspired to create events that we really want in our lives, to fill our lives. You know, I love telling our stories, and I've been in Phoenix, Arizona, because I've been doing, Phoenix, Arizona is where I was raised, and I've been doing healing work with my family, and it was just, I basically got sent back to Phoenix to heal, and I've been in Phoenix and making a lot of excuses because there aren't a lot of events that I really like to go to. So there aren't the ecstatic dance that I like to go to. There just aren't a lot of the juicy events that I love, and I'm kind of like poo-pooing and saying my community is not here. And at the same time, it's such a lie, actually. It really is a lie. And I know that I can create anything and everything that I want for myself. You know, if I want an ecstatic dance, I'm going to host an ecstatic dance. You know, if I want whatever it is that I need to inspire me, I can do that. And I see that in you, too. And you were just talking about, is it called Dance Camp? What are you calling it?
It is Dance Camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact that in Costa Rica you are bringing a group of people together for a whole month of performance art and dance and expression, and I do want you to speak about it right now, because that's, like, what's more inspiring to women and to men than saying, like, yeah, do you want something in your life? Like, do it. Put it together. Bring amazing people together in your favorite place in the world and be a leader, you know?
Cool. Yeah, actually, this is a good point. I mean, in terms of really creating our own realities, I mean, this dance is called Dance Camp, and it's a performance lab intensive, and it's really my own hopes and dreams coming true, because I've often scoured for dance schools I could go to or performance schools, but not being someone who is traditionally trained in these areas, it's really hard to sort of go to a school like this unless you grew up with dance in your blood. And so what I've created is a container of focused dance technique as well as performance lab. And it really is for those of us that really feel inspired to share the stories of a new world, of an empowered goddess, of, you know, a time where we are the creators, where we are choosing to actively heal the earth. And we wish to do this through embodiment arts, through song, through dance, through self-expression, in ways that are creative and most fun. And so this container is a way for us to bring that love to the table and then to be witnessed in it and to receive feedback from professional teachers and performance artists, you know, theater professionals who can help us feel the confidence and the empowerment to truly take our messages to the stage. And, you know, something that I remember years ago from Amma Bhagwan, who are a transcendent guru couple in Italy, was they said, the awakening, the enlightenment, the golden age would happen through song and dance. And when you kind of think about it, I mean, if we weren't dealing with problems, what would we be doing? But, you know, we might all be in a silly musical, dancing and singing in the streets. And that just might be where we're going. And so when we can intersect this joyful way of being, being in our bodies, feeling amazing, singing our truth, you know, and telling a story that is entertaining for others and to inspire them to feel alive, to live their truths, to help heal the earth. I mean, for me, what's really better than that? You know, I'm sure there will be something that comes up next. But until then, this feels fantastic. So we're inviting people to come into this container and experience this and say yes to their hopes and dreams.
Oh, that's amazing. It's amazing. And actually, like, because I just found out about it, and I want to talk to you more about it because I want to do it. So I want to talk about it, but... My reasoning for it, though, is what I was telling you before of we have ourredtent.com, and it is a space for women to support women, and it is a space for women to share themselves authentically. But it's so much more than that, too. It is a space in which we share the woman's mysteries. We share the power of our body. We share the power of our sexuality, the power of our menstrual blood, the power of our womb, the power of... And beyond that, just everything that women are doing to liberate themselves. And I can speak these messages. You know, I can speak them. We have our radio show. We've got videos. Mm. I can write them. But what if I perform them? You know, and how many people will that hit? If I'm saying I have a potent message that I feel is going to liberate women. And when I say liberate women, I always bring up that we are liberating women to also support men. You know, liberating women and empowering women and allowing them to share their voice is only going to make men stronger and bolder. And women are connected to men. You know, so because my embodiment of if I did a performance art on just my power, it is genderless. But yes, so we're already hitting so many people. But what if we brought it to the art? And so for me, I'm like, well, this is a business expense, you know? when would I ever have an opportunity to spend an entire month cultivating my performance aspect, which I love, by the way, and I really haven't had enough outlets. I am a dancer and I am an expressive artist. And I haven't had enough outlets for me to really allow myself to really get raw, which is funny. You're saying that, you know, the way I write or it's inspiring to people and sometimes edgy. Like, sometimes I want to be like, you have no idea. You know? I want to be like, I have no idea what I'm like when I really express myself and I'm dying for it. You know, I'm like, who can handle it? Like, who out there wants to really, like, feel Kali? You know, I really
want
to feel it. So yeah.
That's what I love I love about you is your ability to shine light and to make magic and express something that might otherwise seem taboo or scary or you know, we don't want to look at the skulls or the zombies and you kind of take it and look at it and almost. You almost laugh at it in a way that takes its power away and yet still recognize it as a potent force of creation, of this destruction and rebirth of, you know, right now the fall of the dying to be reborn. And it's so powerful for us as a human species to be able to understand the power of something like, of a goddess like Kali, who literally, because as humans, you know, we literally are discovering ourselves as love. We're discovering how to be the embodiment in form when we chose to separate ourselves from full source to embody form. And I just, yes, Aurora, I'm in so much support of any kind of expressive art that comes from you, especially in this aspect that you tend to focus on these darker energies that are absolutely the void and the birth of creation, that which evolves us and moves us forward.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing that up, the fact that I do. I have a tendency to focus on the dark goddess. I have a tendency on focusing on the taboo. And although there are so many topics to address when it comes to woman's power or people's power, that I like to focus on that which most people are not touching. And it's what's running through me. So whether it is bringing light and empowerment to depression, to death, to the menstrual blood, to, and it's so funny that I'm going to put sexuality in that category, because I think that my work in sexuality and being a speaker and a sex educator in that space, that has caused the most controversy in my life. And I find that very interesting, people's perceptions around good and bad around sexuality. And so to be able to portray it in art, to get real, to get people to see it, mm-hmm. and to have a perspective mm-hmm. that's more powerful, because, and I'm using the word powerful a lot, I like that word, but for me, our society, the fact that it hurts, has made a reference of good and bad, these boxes of good and bad for certain things. So depression is bad, you know, death is bad. These are bad, right? And I'm saying these are not bad. These are experiences, and they are experiences that are initiation points for us to move to our next phase, for us to transform, for us to evolve, for us to gather soul pieces, for us to shatter soul pieces, and then to regain them later. But it is important. It is a motor. It is a motor for all of our evolutions. And so to see that, and to when we get real, even just in a video or performance art around shadow work, around depression, around the fact that people are ignoring it, and you've decided to make it into a performance piece, that's good enough. Let alone that you're going to now make an activist point that stop looking at this as bad and start looking at this as an initiation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. You're inspiring me so much. I mean, because what do all humans have in common but these experiences of joy and of sadness, of pleasure and of pain? And rather than we, you know, label these as scarred experiences to hide in the closet and never talk about, it's, you know, to bring them to the surface, and it's this shared language. And, wow, it's, you know, it just reminds me of there's a woman right now in San Francisco who's put herself in a small glass contortionist box, and she's made a vigil, and it's a performance act. And she's sitting on the street in this vigil because many of her favorite shops on Haight Street are closing down because of an increase in rent prices. So she's bringing awareness to this. She's feeling very sad, and she's holding a candlelight vigil for what's happening through performance art. And, you know, it really inspires people to get involved, to act. And that's what's so beautiful now about, you know, the ability for us to share through media, and to have our voice, and to use this Block Talk Radio, and, you know, your call out with our Red Tent for people to share their stories. And I just, it's showing such a transformation in culture already. It's really powerful.
Yay, thank you. So when I do the show by myself, and I have videos too, I call it Authentically Aurora. And I want to say that you have your show, Authentically Lila. And when I called our mine Authentically Aurora, I'm like, oh, shit, like, Lila's going to be so mad at me because that's your title. And but I felt it, like, embodied everything that I was also speaking for. And I want to say that with your videos, I am so inspired by your videos. And I wanted to say, again, on this call about inspiration, just how silly you are on your videos. You're not only real, but you are not afraid to make fun of yourself and to dress up and to be quirky. And I feel that as a woman and as a pretty woman, there has been pressure on me to show up pretty, you know, to show up looking good and looking presentable and looking, there's some kind of box that I feel like I'm supposed to look like when I make my videos. And when I watch yours and I see you just being like, yeah, you know, this is me. I don't have to look sexy. I don't need to be a sex object. And even though you are, you know, even though you are sexual in all your different expressions, but my point is the fact that you so just put yourself out there in public and said, here's my weirdness, here's me, that's really inspiring to me.
Thank you. I really appreciate you just speaking into that. I think it brings up a couple of things. The one thing that comes up for me is, as a woman who was always muscular and always had men be like, I'll arm wrestle you. You know, I was very self-conscious, especially of my arms, and self-conscious of the strength that I had. And by doing so, I was shutting down half of my being, of this very important part of myself, of this masculine. As you spoke earlier about the Sri Yantra, the merging, the wholeness of ourselves. And more recently, I've been empowered to really let my full self out. And, you know, even to the point where a couple weeks ago, I drew a mustache on my face, and it really signified a huge initiation that I was no longer afraid to be all that I am. And that, you know, when I attract a partner, it's like I could show him this side of me in this moment, and it's completely okay, because this is me. This is raw. This is all of me. I'm not just, you know, one pretty painted picture. And I think this is really important, that we're able to see ourselves as all of it and not be so attached to the form. Whereas, of course, it's beautiful to feel beautiful and to be well-groomed and clean. And at the same time, to remember that flesh fades away. It's kind of like the zombie joke. It's like, you know, inside we're all love, and it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. And so when we can play with our physical form, make fun of it, be silly, you know, embody things that are raw or weird or make funny sounds like this, then it's like none of it has power over us. And I feel like our real true inner beauty of that which all that we are can really shine with no restrictions or constraints of, oh, I'm afraid to be this or I'm afraid to be that. And so, you know, I really encourage us to pull out that video camera and make funny faces and make weird sounds or weird movements with your arms and hands, and just really break through any of those constraints of, oh, I'm meant to be, walk, look, or act like this. And from that space, I believe an inner beauty, an inner grace, an inner empowerment really rises once we shed all resistances to that which we are, which is truly everything.
That was beautiful. That's amazing. And, you know, if people are looking for what it is that's going to free us, that's it, to stop putting ourselves in these boxes and to start getting real into when we notice that, oh, I can't show up this way because blah, blah, blah story, to just do it anyway. And so if my story is, oh, I can't show up on my video camera right now because people are going to judge what I say, or they're going to judge what I look, or they're going to get on their video camera, you know? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. Why are we here on earth? Do you want to live in bliss, you know? And that's going to take some work. You're going to have to note where your blockages are, and start jumping, you know, start, get excited to take a jackhammer or whatever, you know, and start knocking down those walls. I know that when I started video recording myself, it was out of the stance of me knowing how terrified I was to do it. And also, I started recording myself without any makeup on because I knew that I felt that I needed to look pretty in order for anyone to really accept me. That was mine, you know, and that's a really strong brainwashing in this world, in this society. And not that I'm not pretty otherwise. I'm a pretty woman, and I'm blessed with that. But I needed to break it for me. When I was in high school and in college, I would always wear makeup every day. And I don't think, I had a boyfriend from 18 to 20 in college. He never saw me without makeup. I would go to bed with makeup on, and then I'd wake up before him and put the makeup on because I was so scared of him seeing my actual face because it wouldn't be as pretty. And I was putting myself in this category of, I was honestly making myself a tool. You know, I was making myself like a trophy. And the amount of work that I did to liberate myself. When people say to me, oh, you know, Laura, you're naturally like this, or I want to be like that, whatever it is, I did a lot of work to free myself, a lot. So for people think it just happens, it doesn't just happen. You have to actively break down your walls, and you have to trust that you can live a blissful life. And that if something is really miserable, you're likely have a mind state that's keeping you miserable. And are you willing to shift it? And I have to say also that I spent the last couple of years in a hole. I spent the last couple of years definitely in what I call the shadow phase. I was in a hole, and I didn't really want to get out of my hole. I was just in the shit. And in some ways, that wasn't even really my choice in terms of certain experiences happened that were really traumatic, that created emotional disturbance in me, that had me licking my wounds for a couple of years. And in that licking my wounds for a couple of years, I just didn't really work hard in shifting my perspective, and I didn't really want to go out and meet more exciting people, and I didn't really want to. So that's okay, though. I think that's the whole thing we're talking about, of the light and the dark, and to not shame it, not to shame any of it. It's all just experiences, and to allow ourselves to just be in it and to feel it fully. That's a big part of the red tent, too. If you go into a shadow cycle, to really feel it and to own it and to go there. And if you want to be, you know, that, like, gargoyle, you know, you want to be in that space, rawr, to allow yourself to be there. But knowing that you're choosing it and that you can choose to work it through as well.
Yeah, that's a really important point, though. I think one of the most beautiful things we can do for ourselves is to feel all that we feel and to give ourselves that time and space and to meet ourselves. It's like so much of life, it really is a paradox. It's like, you know, right when you give up that which you love the most, it comes flooding, you know, flooding back to you. And it's that same perspective in the sense of, you know, when we really let ourselves feel pain and take a moment rather than the distraction of, you know, turning on the TV or emotional eating, which is something that I used to do a lot of, is to really feel that, we really transcend it. And I think, and it's the easiest and yet hardest thing to do, because it asks us just to be still with the feeling. And yet most profound practice, I feel, that we can really engage in as we grow, and also to truly meet ourselves where we are at as a reflection, as that frequency of the universe of where we are at, although we might have, you know, grand ideas. And for me, I always had this huge dynamic tension between who I saw myself to be, like, you know, even as an 80-year-old woman, and who I was as a younger woman. And I'd have this tension of like, oh, but I'm not her yet, but I know I'm meant to be her someday. And I really created a lot of unnecessary suffering. And then when I was able to let that go and trust that the universe was giving me my most beautiful process, that this is this life and this embodiment as Leela, and that the universe had my back and was going to show me the life experiences that would be for my greatest fulfillment, evolution, and ultimate joy, and to meet myself in those moments of self-growth and say, well, this is where I'm at today, and I honor it, and it's beautiful. And just that self-acceptance, that kindness, that, again, that acceptance is like, that's the paradox. It, like, breaks through everything and frees us, and it fully and literally liberates us, rather than trying to be somewhere we're not, or, you know, fighting through. But, again, always really coming back to the self. And so much of my journey has been about self-work, because it really made sense to me that our world is a reflection of who we are as God beings. And so if we're feeling, you know, pain in the world, we're reflecting a lot of challenge, that, you know, to come back inside and give myself more love, to fill myself up with more love, because I am that which is the emanation of peace on the planet. And so it really kind of became an easier journey when I'd say, well, gosh, why am I focusing so much now on the pain or, you know, the corporations that are stealing from the people? And when I really came to see, when I started to focus on energies that made me frustrated, I was like, well, I can either do something about it right now, or I can build the light inside me more fully. And that light will literally obliterate that much, like literally dissolve fear. And So that's just been sort of this empowerment journey and my inspiration for being that which I see as an embodiment of peace. And I'm still on my journey, and I own that fully. And that's why I think it's so beautiful that we can still share ourselves as we're on the journey, because even an enlightened master, we're still always in process, and that's beautiful. I mean, this world is a temporary world in process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My head is thinking about, you know, you and I, we are women without children, and we are in a space of really being fortunate enough to focus on ourselves, to take these big leaps and these. And something that's come up from women when I talk about this, about these free spirited journeys, these that you and I tend to go on, whether it is traveling from place to place, or, well, what do I do when I have my kid? You know, and it's interesting because that's such a loaded question in terms of, yes, my thoughts are, We have a lot of ways that we feel that we need to be for our children. That's one. But also the fact, too, I don't even know if I want to go there. I was bringing it up because there are women who are like, I don't know how to be as free as you are. And they feel they have so many responsibilities. They have to provide for the kids. They need to have their, you know, 9-to-5 job to make that money, and they need to. And I think some of the reasons why they get so boxed in too is because of a lot of the norms that our society says that you need to be in order to be a parent, and also the fact that when they went into their marriage and they created these agreements with someone, a lot of times they got married to a man who, at a time in their life where they weren't open to new possibilities and to liberation movements and to free spirit lifestyles. And so a lot of times their partner also creates a pigeonhole. I guess where I'm going with this is I think that no matter where it is that you are, like if you're taking care of your kids, if you're in a relationship with a man, if you're, that we can still change our perspective to live ecstatically and to create our world and to and bring our kids along, you know. And I say this because it's come up a few times. So, what do I do if, you know, and this and my responsibilities, but there are so many beautiful, ecstatic lives that we can have bringing our children along and to be honest with them also. Be honest about with them about why it is you're going on these journeys and why it is that you need to have these experiences, because they're learning about life. You know, they're learning about the possibilities of life. They're honestly, if you keep yourself in a box, all you're teaching your kid is to stay in a box, and then they're going to be in a school system that's going to continue teaching them about boxes. And There are other ways, and for people to really leap, I think that's what it is, like really leap. Like if you feel stuck and you think that there's just no other way, sit down and start investigating and start talking to people who have chosen consciously to live other ways and do it with a family and do it. And for those of you who don't have children, you know, in the same way and are still, well, how am I going to make enough money to support myself? You know, how am I sometimes we have to leap. You know, sometimes we have to leap. And it's big, and we are the chosen ones. You know, we are the ones changing the world. And it just so happens we came here in a time, we are living in a time in which a lot of things are backward, and a lot of things feel like if we do not follow the rules, then we will be annihilated. It sometimes feels like that. You know, if we do not work the way that other people work, if we do not have romantic relationships the way other people do it, if we do not, we'll be annihilated. And for us to really feel into our soul and feel into our being and say, is that really true? You know? And yet they understand that all of us are going to meet a lot of people who are still following those programs because we're in the shift. But are you going to be a leader for your life? You know, are you going to be a leader for the world? And to take it to another step, let alone just living it for yourself, if you're someone like me and Leela, are you going to show people the way? Are you going to write it down? Are you going to speak about it? Are you going to show people the way? You know, that's huge. It's a big responsibility.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point in terms of feeling, you know, people experiencing life and saying, well, this is my life and this is how it is and you know, things aren't going to change. And I think that something that is really powerful for me is to find ourselves in a life that we're living in the present moment in such a way that any experience that we're experiencing, whether it's going to an office job or taking the kids to school, or each moment is a moment to find the beauty. Each moment is a moment to express some degree of gratitude for, as you're driving the kids to school, wow, look at the sunshine today. You know, each moment is a moment to tune into the present and find a glimmer of beauty, and then to amplify those moments and have, you know, at the end of the day to say, hey, family, what are we grateful for today? And that this act of gratitude, this simple act of focusing on the beautiful things, will only amplify those things in our lives, no matter where we're at, no matter where we're starting from, because the universe will give us more of what we're recognizing. It's very much acts as a mirror reflection. So no matter what kind of reality we find ourselves in, especially if we have kids, because they are the greatest gift of presence and joy and play and fun, and they're doing art projects in school, and there's school theater often, and they're running around outside climbing trees, you know, we can take a moment to engage in their world and say, thank you for being with me and showing me the way as the way showers. You know, and now I'm going to take this joy I have because I just climbed this little tree and bring it to the workplace tomorrow. And I'm going to just have a little lighter foot, you know, I'm going to have a little lighter step to tomorrow because I've experienced this joy through your eyes. So even in these worlds where maybe we're not traveling around the world going to retreats, there are ways, especially when we attune ourselves to the field of gratitude, that we begin to experience more of an ecstatic life and more of a life where we become the way showers because we're tuning in to the present moment of love, which can be found in all moments.
Oh, yay. Yay. So we have 10 minutes left on the show, and I would love for us both to share, well, what is it? What is it that you want all women to know? I mean, again, what do you want all people to know? But let's talk about women because this is a show, Women Supporting Women. So what is it? What is it that you're learning? What is it that you want women to know?
Wow, that's beautiful. Well, my desire is that each woman knows that she is here for a specific purpose, that she is here to share something really beautiful the world, and that is her existence alone, and anything that comes from her existence alone, whether that's how she is feeling, what she wishes to create, whether that's a poem she writes, or a business she starts, or something she destroys, each moment of her existence. Just the very fact that she is embodied, she is love. It doesn't matter what she achieves, what she says, how many mistakes she makes, or how many times maybe she self-sabotages herself. From the core of her being, she is always, always emanating the pure quality and innocence of love. And she can never, never truly stray from that. And to remember that always, every day, to look in the mirror and say, I am love. I am love. And from that place, from that pure source place, no matter what the external reality looks like, no matter what a partner is reflecting or how, you know, how maybe mean a child is being in that moment, for each woman to know that her value is inherent in her absolute embodiment. And no matter her shape or her size, it's the beauty is truly, truly that which is innate within. And none of those things really carry any effect in the world other than that which she creates from her heart, and that anything that she says or does, even if in that moment it felt harsh or she felt she expressed too much anger, to remember the perfection of all moments unfolding and to be kind to herself and have compassion for her process, because she is powerful, very, very powerful, so powerful that we are afraid of truly how powerful we are, and that just knowing this inside would be just juice and diamonds inside my soul, that each woman looks in the mirror and says, I am love, I am love, I am love.
So it is, that's what we say, and so it is. It has been witnessed, and so it is, and may it manifest. And I agree. I believe that there is a new woman here on earth, and this woman knows how powerful she is. And she will speak, and she will share, and she will get knocked down, and she will rise. And we are uniting together the same way that these new men are here on earth. And we are coming together as a community. And it is important for us to speak. And it is important for us to notice the places where there is grind. And it is important for us to understand why there is grind. And it is important for us to know that we are the change.
And together, and it's important for us to realize that we truly are each other, and that there really isn't any competition, and my success is your success, and that we're truly creating a world that works for everyone, truly together, and that by uplifting each other and by having gratitude for our successes and giving each other, you know, the love and intention, that we are giving ourselves that same love and intention, that we really see that we are the other, is just a really powerful lens by which to view the world. And it cultivates absolute compassion and absolute empowerment, absolute grounded empowerment in all beings.
Yeah, and so it is. And that's it. Last but not least, that, as we said, every woman has a story, and our mission is for everyone's story to be heard. Our mission is for every woman's story to be heard. It matters. It matters that we're speaking up. It matters that we're sharing our stories. So the fact that we are here sharing our stories, it matters. As you said, we are reflections of each other. If we are not sharing our stories, how are we supposed to transform? How are we supposed to evolve? How are we supposed to learn from each other's, you know, gifts and mistakes and triumphs? How are we supposed to grow? So it's important. It's important. And this is how we're going to change the world. And with that, Leela, I'd love for you to tell them how they may contact you, any listeners may contact you if they were inspired by anything that you said, or like, what is the Divine Playground? I want to hear more. I want to be part of all of that. How can they contact you?
Beautiful. Well, you can visit our website at the divineplayground.org, and that's divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, so thedivineplayground.org. I'm also open to receiving emails, and my email is divineplayground@gmail.com, and I look forward to being, I guess, on Blog Talk Radio again. This has been such a joyful experience, and I feel empowered by this gift to be able to share my voice and to be that one more amplification in the world, that one more little light that turns on and says, yes, we have a choice, we have a voice, and we are the new world, we are the new humans, and we've come here for love and to live heaven on earth lifestyles, and that's what we're going to do.
Yes, I say yes. And this is Aurora Ray Cozen. I am the founder of rredtent.com, so rredtent.com. And you can email me at rredtent@gmail.com. We have a group on Facebook with 5,000 women sharing their stories. It's called the Goddess Gathering for Women's Empowerment Forum. You can message me, Aurora Ray, on Facebook, and I can add you to that group. Join the website and share your stories with us. We want to hear them. We love you. Thank you. Until next time, you can listen to more of our shows in the archives and rredtent.com and blogtalkradio.com/rredtent. And that is all. It is the end. All right. We love you. Bye.
Love you. Mwah.